Here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome. This is Marnie. I am here today with our special guest, Ronki Twaiwu, and we're going to be talking about intrinsic motivation, a leadership training segment. Welcome to you. Buckle up, because during this next little while, Ronki's going to share with us 5 ways to lead from the inside out, also 4 simple strategies to grow your self-confidence, 8 self-mastery secrets to achieving peak performance, and you can get to know Ronki better over at her website, ronkitaiwu.com. But she is a speaker, life coach, and pastor's wife whose practical insights combined with real-life stories inspire, excite, and encourage women to believe God, love themselves, and love others. Again, you can learn more about her over at ronkitaiwu.com, or you can invite her to speak via womenspeakers.com. So excited to have you here with us, Ronki.
Hello. Good to see you. Good to see you, Marnie.
It's great to see you too.
Yeah. Thank you so, so much. I really appreciate this opportunity and I really love what you do. And I just want to appreciate you publicly for that. You know, you have been doing this for years, and thank you. Thank you for encouraging women everywhere. Aww.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, I know you live in Canada and you have an accent, so tell us where you're from.
Okay. Yeah. You know, the accent will always show. I'm actually originally from Nigeria. That's somewhere in West Africa. I know many people. Nigeria is actually a popular country in Africa. Yeah. So I was born there, grew up there, did my life there until I moved to Canada about 3 years ago. That was 2019. So now I'm in Canada fully, but I was from Nigeria.
That's so awesome. And you guys are pastoring a church there?
Yes, we are. God's Family Church. It was just a vision God gave to us. And as soon as we came into Canada, we started running with it. Yeah, my husband pastors the church and I'm beside him, helping him and doing all I can to just make the work prosper here.
Absolutely. Well, I'm excited to have you here to talk about intrinsic motivation. And we're going to cover kind of a lot of ground during this next 45 minutes or so. So I want to dive right in. And you wanted to start us off with 5 ways to lead from the inside out. So as we go, I'm going to have you share a couple, then we'll chat about it, and then we'll move on from there. So what is your first key, your first way?
Okay. I will say the first one is self-discovery, because I tell people you can't lead others if you have not yet known yourself, if you have not yet known, okay, what are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? What are the areas I'm more gifted for? Or, you know, where can I fit in the piece? Because leadership is not just about staying somewhere and just calling the shots and telling people, do everything, I'm not doing anything. It's about, you know, leading by example. So how can you be an example if you really don't know who you are? So it takes time. It's just for you to discover yourself, go inside. You know, we talk about SWOT analysis. pardon me, when we talk about leadership issues, you know, what are my strengths as a person? What are my weaknesses? What are my opportunities? What are my threats? You know, people say, oh, there are some people that are born leaders. Probably they are, you know, choleric. They know how to go about everything. But I just say, no, if you discover yourself, you know how you can lead. Anybody can lead. An introvert can lead. An extrovert can lead. But you have to discover, okay, where do I fit into the pills? How do I lead in my own style? And you can't do this without discovering yourself. And when we talk about self-discovery, sometimes you have to go above yourself to God. You know, I never knew when I was young, I was a shy person. You know, now I speak with so much power, authority, just because I had a word about it. God told me, oh, I was going to use you, you are going to speak. And I'm like, I'm shy. So like, how is it going to work? You know, but that pushed me to really look within myself. Okay, what can I do? In what ways? And, you know, I started practicing little by little. I started talking to friends, doing, and people were like, oh, I love the way you talk. I love the way you, you know, you, I love your energy and everything. And, you know, it became something I did more. So for in my own area, in that area, I believe God helped me by leading me and telling me this is what you can do. Because sometimes you just, so many, you are boxed. Like I said, I grew up in Nigeria, in Africa. As a woman, there are so many boxes that you have been put to. You are brought up to know, like, to know that you don't have a say. You are brought up to say, oh, you are just supposed to be behind, or, you know, just hiding behind somebody. And, you know, your greatest achievement was to just get married and give birth to kids, you know. But as God gave me that, I started going within myself to see, okay, what can I do better? So I don't know if anybody is watching us and you are thinking, I don't even think I can do anything. Why don't you go within yourself? Try to look at it. What are the things I can do? What are my gifts? What are the things that makes me excited when I want to do it? Then lastly, what is God saying to me? What are the words he has ever given to me? You know, what have I maybe learned that I could do? You know, or what have I dreamt of doing, even though I'm not sure how to go about it? So let me just go to the second one. Or do you want to say anything about that?
Yeah, I think I do want to jump in for just a second, because I feel like what you said is so true, that everybody's actually leading someone, even if it's a niece or a nephew. There's someone watching you, and you are actually leading. So to say I don't have a big leadership skill isn't really accurate. What you're saying is that you aren't called to work in a position of leadership, like where someone else acknowledges that, but everybody's a leader. And I love that you say that. And then also, I loved how you said that God told you, even though you're shy, I'm going to use you in this way.
Yeah.
Just because you feel like maybe you don't have it, it doesn't mean God can't give it to you.
Yeah, beautiful.
Okay, so number two is about courage.
You know, you just have to, like I said, you just have to develop that courage. You just have to go over what you feel you can't do. You know, when we talk about leadership, it actually has to do with courage. It's about, can I do this? You know, I've spoken with some people, maybe women who are expecting a baby. They have so much fear, and like, am I going to raise somebody else? And I'm like, you just have to build the courage and you'll be able to do it. And, you know, maybe three children after, they are experts. They're even telling other people, oh, do it this way, do it that way. And you can't actually compare that person to the person. So how do you build your courage? By going out and doing it. When you do something, when you do it for the first time, it might be strange. It might be, but, you know, just keep doing it. Where do you think you can fit? What do you think you can do? Like you said, you can lead in any way. You can lead by, guiding your nieces, your nephews, you know, walking somewhere and being in charge of somebody. You know, you just have to take the steps, and as you do that, your courage will build, because practice makes you get better at doing it. And when you build courage, it helps you to develop your strength. You know, where you focus on the areas. You know, the problem we have with many people is that we are worried about what we cannot do, and we don't focus on what we can do. So instead of worrying about, I can't really do this, I'm not so good with this, why don't you focus on what you can really do and actually do it better and do it so well that you become the best in that area, because you were naturally gifted for it. So I think those are the ways we can actually build our courage. Number one, by taking a step. Number two, by focusing on the strengths that God has given us, instead of just worrying about the things we cannot do.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. So number three then.
Okay, then influence. Like I said, leadership is all about influence. And we can only achieve this by really caring about other people, by really showing love. You see, people don't care about you until they know how much you care. You know, they don't think of you. They don't want to have anything to do with you. But when they know you really care, there is a part of their heart that opens up to you, and you can actually influence them. I believe leadership is really influence. Leadership is really wherever you are, influencing other people to be better, influencing other people to do good. When people see your life or see what you do, they are challenged and say, oh, I can do this. So, and we can't achieve that by not showing love. You can't, you know, get to influence people. People might do what you say based on your position. They might know, oh, this person is my boss, I have to listen to her, or this person is my boss, I have to do whatever she says. But the fact is that when you truly care, subconsciously, they just want to do, They just want to follow you. They want to follow what you are saying. They want to do what you say. Why? Because they know you actually care about them and you love them. So I believe that the biggest way by which we can achieve influence, and the quickest, not really the quickest, but it's the way that you can last long, is when you love. Yeah, you could use force and achieve cooperation very fast, but love can take time. It takes time. Mm-hmm. For the person to even know you love them, it mm-hmm. takes time for them to open up to you and everything. But at the end of the day, it's an influence that lasts a long time, that even when you are gone, people are still talking about you, that, oh, this person truly loved. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I love that. And it's so different. It's how Jesus did it, really. When he came, he told them what to do, but he did it in such a loving way. And he lived with them, shared his life with them, and modeled God's love for us. I just think that's so cool. The fourth one is about challenging others then.
Yeah, challenging others is that when you have received, when you have gotten to a place where you have built trust, where other people can actually trust you, they can look up to you, they believe in you, then you can challenge them. You can, you know, give them things to do. You can tell them you can do it. You can encourage them. You can motivate them. You can be there for them. And, you know, even when they are confused, you can be there to listen to them. So when you get to that stage, you already have an open door into the life of maybe that person or a set of people, then you can take it to the next level to challenge them to be better, because leadership is about taking people from a place to a better place, depending on wherever that is. Where you might be leading in the work, you want them to achieve better. You are leading in the church, you want their spiritual life to get better. You want them to build a relationship with Jesus. You know, you are leading children, you want them to learn, you want them to speak well, you want them to understand. You can be a teacher, you can, but the fact is that you have to challenge them and let them know they can do better. And you know, when we look at it, that is why teachers are widely celebrated today, because when you hear a lot of testimonies, people say, oh, I didn't even know I could do it until I met a teacher, and the teacher told me you can actually do it. And you know, they try it and they do it. So when we talk about challenging, is about taking the step, not just stopping and loving them and probably feeding them and probably just babying them and petting them. No, you have to go to the next level and actually pull them up, you know, pull them up and let them walk too. Pull them up to a place where they are not just dependent on you. Because another thing that we, if we don't take time as leaders, is that we make people totally dependent on us, and they can't take steps. They can't move. They are just looking. It just reminds me of the story of Peter and John at the beautiful gates. You know, the man was looking up to them, not because he wanted to walk. He wanted to get something from them. He wanted handouts. You know, that was what he lived on, you know, getting handouts from people. And when he looked at them, with the idea that I want to get something from you. Do you have money to give me? Maybe a loony there, a toony there, you know, that you can give to me. But, you know, Peter and John told him, no, we've not come here to give you. We have something better than we can give you. And they pulled him up and he was able to walk. Now he has better opportunities to walk and, you know, do better things. So when it comes to challenging, it's more like you are pulling people up to take a step. You know, you are not just leading them and, you know, staying there and, you know, just leaving them, but you are pulling them, let them march and take a step.
I love that. I have this picture that I use sometimes in, on my website and in social media where it's the side of a mountain, and it's quite a steep climb up that mountain. And that I get to be sometimes the leader at the top with the rope. And there's people trying to get up to where God's already taken me.
Yeah.
That's kind of what a leader is. It's a mentor who's they're helping you get where they already are, helping you understand what they already know. Like that. And it's not like, I mean, I have mentors too. And so do you. Everybody should have people who are also feeding into us.
Yeah.
And then if we all keep doing that, that's such a great way for us to lift up each other. And I had a pastor one time, he had a vision, and he said he saw me, and I was pulling people. I was pulling women up.
Beautiful.
Pulling women up. But there were some women who were trying to knock them down. And that's the reality of life too, isn't
yeah.
it? That sometimes when you're being lifted up to a new level, when you're working toward that, there's someone who maybe doesn't want to see you go up there. And that's where that courage piece comes in. You're going to have to just believe what God says about you, what God's calling you to do, and step out and let someone help you go up, even when others are maybe not wanting you to go up or wanting you to fall down. So remember what Jesus says about you. So the fifth thing then we have, ways to lead from the inside out.
I think the fifth step, just do it. Yeah, simple. That's number five. Just lead. You know, you've discovered yourself. You are building courage every day. You are influencing others. You are challenging others. Then just lead. Be an example. Be a mentor like Manny. Pull people up the mountain. Like a lot of people, you know, down on the valley, looking up and wondering, how did people get there? Some of them are even saying it derogatory, like, are you sure? Are you sure it was not an airplane that took them there? Are you sure they did the, you know, are you sure they did the hard work, or, you know, they just found themselves there? So there are many people looking up to us in wherever we might find ourselves, and we can just do it and lead.
I really love that story of Peter and John too, standing, and the man didn't even know that they had the potential of helping him to walk. All he'd ever done was beg to just get through the day, just get through the day, just get through the day, a couple more dollars, you know. But when they came, they gave him they pulled him up. It's that same picture again. They pulled him up, to a new level. And that's what a leader, that's what a godly leader is always about, is taking you to the next level with Jesus, whatever that is for you. And it's different for everybody. We're going to spend a couple of minutes here talking about strategies to help you grow in your self-confidence. And one of the things that I had found, it shocked me, Ronki, when I first saw it. It was in Proverbs, and I was reading in the Amplified Bible. And every time the Bible said the word self-confident, in the Amplified Bible, it said the word fool after it. Wow. The self-confident fool. And so we have to distinguish between the confidence that's coming from Christ, that's in ourselves, and the confidence that we're building up by telling ourselves
just ourselves.
There's two different things going on here. And as we're talking now in this next little section, we're talking about the confidence that you can have in Christ, that He has created you to do everything He created you to do. Not everything, but everything He created you to do, you can do through Him. That kind of confidence. So what's the first strategy?
I would say I'll go about believing in yourself again. Like I mentioned, when I talk about five ways to lead yourself, like when you try to discover yourself, when you discover what are the strengths God has given me, you have to take another steps believing that, oh, this thing can be put to use. I can actually use them. Like I said, when I was young, I was very shy. I was somebody who didn't want to be in the limelight. I just didn't want to show, even though God was pushing me into that. So I had to get to a stage where I started believing in myself that, oh, with God's help, I can actually do it. Because there's a level of confidence in this. Let me just say, having faith, you know, when we say confidence, it's like you are having faith that, oh, with God on my side, I can actually do this. Because if you don't really have faith, you can't actually take a step. You can't do what. So believing in yourself is that, okay, what are the gifts God has given to me? In what areas can I use this gift? And how much do I believe that I can use it? And when you can actually, you know, go that step and say, oh, I believe that, oh, God has given me this. I believe that God is calling me to this. I believe that I can do this. I once met a young girl who just told me, oh, she believes she was called to children, that in her lifetime she would influence 1 million children. Even I was scared on Abila. I was like, where would you get 1 million children? You know, I looked at her life. I looked at everything. I was like, where do you want to start? You know, but she was so confident about it, because she said, it's not my dream. It's not something I just thought up. It was something I believe God is leading me to do. And if I don't believe I can do it, I can't. Even though God wants me to, it won't come down and carry me up and take me there. You know, it can just let me know this is what I want you to do and link me with other people. So believing that you in yourself, if you don't believe in yourself, you cannot be confident. And there's a level of confidence you need to pass across a message. There's a level of confidence you need to let people know that, oh, this thing I'm giving you is the real deal. If you get a salesman comes to your house and he's stuttering and, you know, moving his lip like, yeah, I think it's a good product. Yeah, I think you won't buy the product because you're like, even you are not sure of your product, you know, so I won't buy it from you. Mm-hmm. So you actually need that level, you know, knowing that, of course, not just that, oh, I'm just believing in myself, I can do it without any help. No, but actually believing that what God has put inside of you, you can actually use it to help others.
It's self-confidence, but it's really God confidence.
God confidence.
And yet each of us has to do it ourselves. You can't do it for me, and I can't do it for you. So that it's so right to call it self-confidence. So one of the things you tell us then, one of the strategies is to kind of break it apart a little bit, to look at the pieces.
When let me just go to the second one, that you have to look the part, you have to take, when I talk about breaking the pieces, the parts, and just fitting it together, is like you have to get to a stage where you, like I said, you have to try it out. You have to, you know, go out and do it. You have to believe you can do it. Dress the parts, you know, look the parts, you know, let everything around you bring out the confidence, even though you are scared. You know, that I tell people, you know, there's no dream God has given you. There's no gift you have. There's still a level of fear you feel at the point of delivery. Because I'm a public speaker, I've spoken in many stages over the years, so many places. I speak a lot. Do you know, the more I speak, the more scared I am when I'm about to go out. There's still that, I don't know, even today, there's still that tiny bit of, oh, I hope I can do it. And I'm like, oh, God, just help me. And, you know, when you look at it, you could have just asked yourself that I've been doing this for years. Why do I still have that, you know, piece of fear that, oh, could I just take it? So if I can have it, how much more somebody that is just even starting out with whatever they want to do. So, you know, just taking the step, looking the part, going ahead like you can do it, then you are able to do it. You know, I remember the story as I'm talking. I remember the story of David and Goliath. It's one of the favorite stories in my house. My children loves it. You know, when we tell them Bible story, they will tell their dad, acts like Goliath, and we'll throw you down. And it's just, you know, it's just a very, very interesting story. And, you know, before David actually threw the stone, he started speaking. He started talking. He started acting the part. He didn't have anything. He didn't have a sword or anything. But he told him, I will cut your head. I'll give it to the birds of the air because God is with me. I can, you know. And in my mind, I'm like, this young boy, where did he get the confidence? You know, is it in the stone he was holding? Definitely not. Who would think throwing a stone will kill somebody? You know, but he was able to, before he even acted it out, he was able to speak it out. He was able to. So when we say look the part, it talks about, okay, confessing it, praying about it, talking to people that can help, because you can talk to some people and they put the water on the fire. You know, you're trying to ignite a fire, you talk to people and they just pour water on it. Like, you can't do that. Why bother yourself? You know, but talking to people that can, you know, help you build, bring it out, you know, and things like that. So if you can do all those, it helps you to fit it into that part and you'll be able to achieve it at the end of the day.
Yeah, I really love it. I was thinking as you were talking about Olympians
who
spend their whole lives training for this moment.
Just one moment.
And if you don't think they're nervous when they go to do that, you're wrong. They are. Even though they've spent their whole lives, sometimes 8 hours a day, practicing and preparing for that one moment, you know, but they're nervous too. So don't let that hold you back. And like you said, but part of that practice time that you've got there is preparing you. So when it comes time to actually do it, you're ready.
Yeah, ready.
I love that. I love that. So number three is focusing and amplifying your strengths.
Yeah. You know, like I'm a proponent of that, because one thing I believe strongly, like I always talk about, you know, amplifying your strength, working on it, because I just believe you came to this world, you didn't pay for it, you didn't buy it, and you just notice there are some things you find easy to do. Is that not a message saying that focus on these things? If they are just, it's just people who sing, majority of the, of course, after the fact, they get voice coaches and everything, but there was a talent that they didn't buy. God just put it in them. So mm-hmm. if you can notice that and feel, oh, this is a good talent I have, how can I actually amplify it? How can I bring it up to, you know, to help others? Because we are always beautiful in the place of our gifting. We look amazing. If you see an Olympian running, maybe the 100 meters race, they look beautiful. Even though they are all sweaty, the ladies have, the ladies have a lot of muscles based on the fact that, you know, but at that point of doing what they love, there's a glory that comes out of it that makes them look beautiful, you know, and you're like, wow. Even though they are sweaty, even though they are not looking, they're like, their faces are not smiling. They are really running their hearts out, you know, but at that point, they look beautiful, you know, and it be, you know, there's a slang. I think, was it the Spanish people? I'm not so sure. Like something like ole, ole, when people are presenting, they say something like ole, ole. And they said they got it from, the word that they mean God. A word that means God. So when people are presenting and they just see that, oh, this person has gotten to a crescendo that looks out of this world, then they start shouting, ole, ole, that like God has taken over. This is not you again, you know, like God. So at that point, you just see like, oh, things just change. The atmosphere changed because there's something about that gift that God has given to you that when you actually bring it out, you are beautiful no matter what it is. Probably it's a gift of taking care of children, of cooking. At that point, if you are even gifted to cook, at that point with your apron sweating, you are beautiful because you are doing what you love. Your face is smiling, you are excited because this is not just something I'm doing, this is something I believe that God has given to me. It wasn't something I purchased. I didn't go to a class and they taught me 7 steps of how to smile. If I know how to smile, you know, you are just so. I actually, you can see that it was in almost the topic I talked about. It was there because if we can actually discover those gifts and we can actually, you know, amplify them, you know, use them, you know, and let me just say, deploy them in various places, then it will help us to fulfill what God has. It will help us to be confident because in the place of your gifting, you are confident because it's something you know how to do. So, so you are confident in that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
I really love that, to really step fully into who God created you to be and then to let, just to release that and to, you know, develop it, let him develop it, of course. But just to really enjoy being there too, enjoy doing what he's called you to do. One of the things, the last thing on this one then that you talk about is going ahead and keep on learning. Don't stop.
You can't stop learning. You can't stop learning. You know, there's something about learning that earns you a place amongst champions. I'll just share my personal, I like to share stories a lot. So from time to time, I'll just share my personal stories and insight because I just believe people can actually learn when they know that you have gone through something before. Like I said, I was a very shy person. I didn't talk and everything. But I believe that when God's put his spotlight on me and I knew there were a lot of things I would do for God, I started reading widely. I started learning. So I got a voracious appetite for reading. I would read books, you know, books that talk about the mind, book that talks about the spirit, spiritual ideas from other authors, the Bible, you know. I just started reading, but there was no place I was bringing it out to. I was just using it to feed myself and I was so excited about it. So there was a day we had a program. It was not even a Christian program. That's just the funny thing. It was just then I was in university, I think they call it college, and I was in a program. It was just a program, like some people put themselves together, or intellectual group, something like a motivational program, you know, talking about this, and you know, students do a lot of those things. So I was in the program. I was not seated. I was not supposed to speak. I was not seated. I was just seated in the audience. So it was like a discussion session where people would ask questions and people. So somebody asked a question and some people had answered it from the panel, but I was not satisfied because my inside was full. It was a question I was like, I've read about it and I was so excited about it. So I just raised up my hand that, oh, I wanted to talk about that. Then I started talking. And everybody just, it was just like a moment where everybody just stopped and everybody just turned to look at me as I was talking. I was not even seeing them. I was just excited because it was a knowledge that I've stored up. And this was an opportunity to bless people, to tell them about it. And as everybody looked at me, I'm like, you know, after everything, the MC just said, yeah, we'll be having another series next week. Our guest speaker at that point introduced me. And I was like, I've not even accepted your invite. And everybody was clapping. They were so excited because it was talking about the spirit, soul, and the body. And I, you know, it was just an area I was so excited about. And I talked about it and I realized, oh, it was learning that brought me that recognition. It was learning that made me, I forgot that I was shy. At that point, because I was filled with the knowledge of that. And so I forgot I was shy. I just got the courage. I was just talking. And, you know, it was after I talked that I looked around. Oh, was that me? You know, and, you know, so when we learn the fact that, like I said, oh, you've discovered what you can do. You've discovered. But when we learn, when we read, when we watch, when we study, when we listen to others, we build more knowledge, we build more ideas inside of it. We build more because you can't know it all. You have to learn from others. You have to learn from how do we know about so many good things spiritually? We learn from the Bible. We learn from stories of people in the Bible because we read them and like, oh, this happened to this person, then I can prevent this from happening. So the more we learn, the more when you have something to say, it's not hard to say something. Yeah. When you have something to say, but when you don't have anything to say, then you won't be bold. Yeah, there's a level of knowledge that you know, even Paul mentioned, he says knowledge pops up. When you know something, there's a level of puffing up. But of course, you have to be careful not to let it puff you up and make you proud, because you might know so much, then you become proud. Then you become, you raise up your shoulders like nobody knows as much as I do, you know. But knowledge, then I also believe the level of knowledge you have, the more you know things, the more you want to know, the more you understand you don't know. So for me, I don't think knowing things will puff me up, because the more I'm learning, I'm like, oh, so there's something like this and I didn't even know it before.
Right.
Okay, then I need I need to know more. You know, I need to learn more to know about. So when we learn every day, when we read, when we study, when you watch interviews like this, a lot of things will be dropped into your spirit, into your mind, and you can actually, you know, shine, and you can actually be confident, God confident, wherever you find yourself.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. This is so fun. We are running out of time. And so there's eight self-mastery secrets. We're going to let's just go ahead down right through the whole eight, just one right after another. You say it, I'll say it again, and then we'll keep going. Then we'll come back and touch on a few of them.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So number one,
understanding yourself. Like it's the same thing. It's kind of like I've spoken a lot about it in the last two topics. Understanding yourself, knowing your strengths, your weakness, because you want to master yourself, then you have to understand where can I be better? You know, what can I do? And all. Then number two, you have to have a goal and a vision. And you know, I always tell people it's actually a topic that looks very out there for a lot of people. It scares people, like goal and a vision. What do I even know that I want? I want so many things. And I tell them, okay, write down everything. It doesn't have to be one thing. You know, as you grow, you notice which one you will focus on more. Especially it might be worse for people that are multi-gifted. I'm a multi-gifted person. I can sing, I can write, I can speak. I'm a good administrator. You know, there are so many things I can do. But, you know, the fact is that I keep writing them down. What are the goals I need to achieve in this area? Then also, when you write down your goals and vision, you can write it based on areas of your life. I have goals that I have to achieve as a wife. I have goals I want to achieve as a mother. I have goals that I want to achieve in my business. I have goals I want to achieve in my speaking. I have goals I want to achieve in the church, you know, and things like that. It can help you to just, and what does a goal mean? What do I want to achieve at the end of this? As simple as that. So when we hear it, let's not get scared, like go vision, oh, this. No. What do you want to achieve at the end of the day? What do you want to achieve? Okay, I'm raising kids. What do I want my kids to become? That should direct me to get the goal. Then you continually work towards that goal with a broken down plan. You know, keep repeating it until it gets to a level that you already know it unconsciously comes out of you. You know, most of the things we do them unconsciously. And we don't know, for example, if you're driving, if you drive from your office to your house every day, your body, every part of you, gets what you do because you have been doing it repetitively. So even if you are not paying attention, you know, there was the day I was leaving my office, I was supposed to go to a friend's house. That was my plan when I left the office. But I got disturbed. I think I was listening to a tape or something in the car, and I was excited. I just kept going. I didn't even know where I was going. But the next thing I saw, I was in my driveway, in my home. Why? Because my, like, the whole body, my hands is used to driving through that path. So it just, even though I was not consciously doing it. So that is why we tell people, keep, when you repeat things, when you do things, it gets to a level that it becomes unconscious. You just find yourself doing it. If you pray every day by a particular time, and that time comes, there's something that would, you know, tickle you, like there's something you have to do. You have not done it. Why? Because you've done it maybe for 30 days, you know, consecutively. So we have to build down a goal, break down the plan, and repetitively do it. Do it over and over. If you miss it today, then do it tomorrow. If you miss it tomorrow, then do it, you know, and keep doing it. Then number four, ignore distractions. Distractions from people around you, distractions from your own weaknesses, distraction from people who don't believe in you, distractions could come in any other way. Distraction from your goals. You see, when we want to achieve something good, there are other juicy things that comes, but they are actually not in alignment with your goal. So if you don't take time, they take your attention, and you find yourself, you are moving away towards what you want to achieve, and you just focus on that thing. You know, probably you are just thinking, oh, I want to achieve at social time, I want to be doing this, maybe exercise, I want to lose weight or something, and you focus on that goal. And you know, then you get an invitation that there's going to be a party every week, or there's going to be a meeting where, you know, you eat so many things. It's a distraction. The meeting might be a good meeting, but it's a distraction to your goal because you wanted to watch your diet. And you know, if you go there, you might not have the willpower to say no to the sumptuous meals you will see there. So we should just avoid distraction in any way it can come. Then number five, we have to choose our thoughts. You know, I mentioned it now that we live mostly from an unconscious, you know, we just do things that we are used to doing. If you are used to brushing your teeth when you wake up, you won't even ask questions. You just wake up and you feel like a zombie. You go to the bedroom, you brush your teeth, because that's just what you've been doing for years. And well, brushing your teeth is good. Please don't stop. You know, but you know, but what I'm saying is that when you have done something over and over, so why don't you choose your thoughts? Why don't you choose because what you will do is a basic, is just a sum total of what you think of. When you think of something over and over, it becomes a reality to you, and you find yourself doing that thing. You know, so that's why when Jesus was talking about adultery and somebody was asking Jesus about adultery, that was like, when you even look, you know, you're already seeing it. Why? Because he understood the power of your thoughts, that, oh, if you are already looking, then there's a probability you want to think of it, feast on it, then take that step. So why don't you nip it in the bud? So when I talk about self-mastery, it's about choosing your thoughts. You know, choosing your thoughts will end up giving you what you will achieve at the end of the day. If you don't choose what you think, you would live what you are thinking, which might not be the good thing. It might not be positive. You might think, oh, I can't do it. Woe is me. I'm not anything. You know, I can't achieve anything. I can't be rich. You know, and you keep putting yourself down by those self-limiting beliefs. And when you don't choose, so how do you choose your thoughts? You choose your thoughts by focusing on what do I want to achieve at the end of the day? Number two, what are the things that are good for me? The Bible says that we should think on things that were pleasant, that are kind, wonderful. You know, it was there. It listed all the good things. I never saw think of things that are fearful. I never saw things of things that are negative. I never saw anything like that. I just saw things that are positive, things that are of a good report. He said, think on these things. So that is, there was an instruction for us to actually choose our thoughts, to focus on thinking on those things. Then I'll go to listening to your inner self via meditation and deep thought. One of the confusions people have about meditation is that they think meditation is, oh, just like a voodoo-like thing you do. You sit in a certain way and then you wipe out your mind of all thoughts and but as Christians, there is a definition of meditation from the Bible, which is just focusing. When we talk about meditation, it's about regurgitating. Maybe like there are some animals who they eat, they swallow, then bring it back, chew it again, and eat. Like you are chewing on that same thing. Yeah. So when you want to meditate and, you know, you want to go into deep thought, you choose what you want to think about. Okay, you want to meditate. You want to meditate about your finances. You choose where you want to see yourself. You think what you want to do. You imagine where you will be in the next 5 years. You are choosing it. It's not just you are sitting somewhere and making some chants and, you know, thinking something will come. No, you choose what you want to focus on. Sometimes when I meditate, I just pick a scripture. And I start thinking on it. I start thinking on it. Probably I just want to meditate about heaven. I pick a scripture that talk about heaven. Oh, God is on the throne. There are seraphims. Okay, how does seraphim look? I want to think of it that, oh, I'm in heaven. And, you know, you pick what you want to focus on. And it gives your mind peace. It gives you peace. And most of the time, I do my meditations in the morning. When I wake up in the morning, most of the time, I want to just do my meditation. So sometimes I wake up with a thought. I know I'm going through that line. Sometimes I don't, but I pick something good that I want to focus on. And why? Because all the sum of these things, we discover what determine what I will achieve at the end of the day. Then the next one, building rituals around your major goals. When you build rituals, what does a ritual mean? It doesn't mean a sacrifice or anything, but it's just something you do. Like I said, repetitiveness. For example, there was a time I wanted to pray more and I felt, oh, what could I do? So I build a prayer plan at a particular time every day. And I told some people, join me during the prayer. And we started doing it. My husband would join me. Some other people would join me. When it got to we did it for, I think, over 50 days, people started getting tired. They started dropping out. They started dropping out. But I kept doing it. And, you know, sometimes when I'm so tired and I don't want to, I'm like, what if I do it and maybe somebody wants to join? And, you know, it now is a ritual I can't do without doing it. And it's helping me. So it's not, in fact, sometimes I want to pray. I don't even want people to join so that I can pray on my own. You know, but I use that as a crutch to stand on, because I just noticed if I say I will do it, I don't do it. Okay, what if I invite a group of people and we start together and they got tired? Many of them don't come again, but I still do it because I still have it at back of my, who knows? What if they join and they don't see me? What if they log in and I'm not there, you know, and I'm able to do so? Things like that, building rituals around your mega goal. Then lastly, you have to pray for help. You know, when we talk about, oh, I want to do everything, oh, I self-mastery, I want to know myself so that I can achieve well, I want to do everything. There is always a part where prayer will come in. There's always a part you don't know what to do. There's a part you get to that you are confused. There's a part you get to, you know yourself. There are some things that you achieved in your life. You know it's not what you've done. You know it wasn't even your input. You knew that somebody else helped you out. You know, somebody hopped there, smiled on you. God looked at you and helped you. So we must not ever forget the part of praying. Because the more we pray, the more we get the mind of God. The more we pray, the more we start seeing ourselves doing the things God wants. The more we pray, the more our goals change. Yeah. That's why I said, just start. Just write it out. You will cancel it yourself. When you pray more, you start seeing what is more important. Then all the other things you've written, you can just cancel it. And okay, I think this is what I want to focus on. Why? Because you are opening up your spirit to God and is investing and putting putting different ideas in you that might be different from what you want, you know, at the end of the day, and it will help you. Let me stop there because of our time. I just keep going and going.
Well, you have just brought us so much good information to think about, yeah, and to just trust God going forward, but to really step out and to lead in, yeah, the way that He's called us to lead. So, Ranke, thank you so much. Just great stuff. Yeah. And you guys, thank you for joining us. I want to make sure that you know how to get a hold of Ranke. You can reach out to her at her own website at RankeTaiwu.com, or also she's a speaker available through womenspeakers.com, and you can just search for her there too. It's so fun to be together. Until next time, I pray you'll have a wonderful day, and we'll see you again next time.